most of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, and the temple is happening, right? So we were selecting some images for carving on the mandovar, the Garbhagriha. So one layer, sixth layer that has happened now, it has all Vrindavan pastimes from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the next layer, top layer, is images from all 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Anupam Bharam Prabhu was coordinating with these carvers, and I was in constantly touch with him. So last couple of months went in, going through the flow of Srimad Bhagavatam for several reasons. And recently, Pandu Prabhu, Srikant Prabhu, and several Vidyapit devotees, they have made a book, okay, with various aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam, and I was going through that also. And and recently we completed Bhagavatam, and the last couple of chapters, 12th chapter of 12th canto, gives an overview of all the contents of Srimad Bhagavatam. So just for several reasons, I am inspired to give the summary of Bhagavatam in very short. There are several things in Bhagavatam that are repeated. Prayer is a very most important element in Srimad Bhagavatam, and no canto is without prayers offered by devotees to the Lord. Then there is glorification of devotees, okay, in almost every canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and hearing the process of Sravanam. Sravanam means hearing the glorious name, fame, pastimes of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So that process is called Sravanam, and that is glorified, that process of Sravanam is glorified very much in every canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are some common themes that we see in every canto from the beginning to the end. So we will begin with the first canto. And the scene is like this: the sages of Naimisharanya gather together for a sacrifice, and they offer a seat to Srimad Srila Suta Goswami and asks him questions. And so the first canto begins with some 6 questions asked by these Saunagadi rishis who assembled for the sacrifice at Naimisharanya. So the question is, first question is, what is the highest good? So these 6 questions are answered in the first 3 chapters by Suta Goswami. He asks what is the highest good, and in response to that, Suta Goswami tells that to develop love for God, Krishna, is the highest good or ultimate good for all living entities. And second question that they ask is, what is the essence of all scriptures? Devotional service. Savai pumsam paro dharma yato bhakti radhokshade ahaituti apratihata he atma suprasiduti. Right? The essence of all scriptures, encourages to perform devotional service unto the Lord Krishna. Right? So that is our eternal Sanatan Dharma. So that is given as answer by Suta Goswami. And the third question that they asked is, what is the purpose of Krishna's appearance on this planet? Right? So the Suta Goswami answers third question. The purpose of Krishna's appearance on this planet is to reclaim the souls, conditioned souls. We all belong to the spiritual world. Okay, we have our eternal constitutional positions in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha, Goloka, somewhere. But for some reason, we ended up in this material world, and we are, undergoing this birth and death cycle. So Krishna comes as an avatar to reclaim all of us. And there are several reasons, but one reason mentioned by Suta Goswami here is to reclaim the people, especially in the mode of goodness. And the fourth question is, he asks about the Purushavataras. Purushavataras means the avatars of the Lord, the incarnations of the Lord, who manage this material creation. So one avatar is Mahavishnu. Right? He creates several universes from the sweat pores. So from his sweat pores, several universes come out, and that Vishnu expands himself as Garbhodakasaya Vishnu into each of these universes. He is like the super soul of the universe. And within each universe, there are several living entities, and that Vishnu expands himself as a super soul within the hearts of every living entity. So there are Purushavataras, that is explained in the second chapter. Then there are Leelavataras, means the Lord comes to perform the various pastimes. So that is explained in the third chapter. And all the avatars are there: Etejamsa Kalapumsa, Bhagavan Swayam. That is also mentioned in the third chapter that Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Then, last question they ask is, where did the religion take shelter after Krishna's disappearance? Krishna appeared to reclaim the, you know, souls. Then Krishna disappeared. Now where is religion taking shelter? So the answer is Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how Suta Goswami answers the six questions. The first six questions he asked by sages of Naimisharanya. And in the second part, from the 4th chapter till 19th chapter, Saunakadi Rishis asked 4 questions prominently, and those 4 questions are answered in the next 16 chapters. First question was, why Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled? What was the source of inspiration for Vyasadeva to compile Srimad Bhagavatam? In response to that, in 3 chapters, 4th, 5th and 6th, 4th, 5th and 6th and 7th chapter also to some extent, Suta Goswami describes how Vyasadeva compiled several scriptures. He divided the one Veda into 4 Vedas and he compiled Mahabharata for the understanding of common people. But he was not satisfied with that endeavor of writing so many scriptures. Right? When Narada Muni comes and reveals him the reason why you are dissatisfied even after writing so many scriptures. The reason is all the scriptures are speaking about dharma, artha, kama, but they are encouraging people to, you know, do ordinary religious activities but not direct devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna. So you should glorify Krishna directly. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus, Vyasadeva got an inspiration to compile Srimad Bhagavatam from Narada Muni, and he compiles. Then the next question that they asked was about the birth and activities of Parikshit Maharaj. Actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. So he is the main audience for this Srimad Bhagavatam. So he, all the sages wanted to know about his birth and activities. So in response to that, Suta Goswami explains first the events leading to the birth of Parikshit Maharaj. Right. What are the events? First, Ashwatthama killed the, you know, 5 sons of, sleeping sons of Draupadi. Then he just fled away and Arjuna was chasing him. Right? And they brought him and they, you know, removed his jewel. Right? Then Ashwatthama then again releases another weapon to kill the last descendant of Pandava dynasty. That was Parikshit Maharaj in the womb of Uttara. Right. So that's how Parikshit Maharaj's birth episode begins. Right. So when that weapon was coming to destroy, you know, Parikshit Maharaj, Krishna enters there. Krishna was at that time, he was about to leave from Hastinapur. So Krishna enters into the womb of Uttara and say protects Parikshit Maharaj, and he was about to leave. Then Kunti Maharani offers several prayers, that is 8th chapter. Then Krishna stays for a while, and again Yudhishthira Maharaj starts lamenting that because of me, you know, so much of destruction has happened because I have to be enthroned, all this destruction has happened, I am responsible for all that. And he was lamenting, nobody could pacify him. Then Krishna takes him to Bhishmadev, and Bhishmadev speaks to him some instructions, and he was pacified. So those two incidents come. Then Krishna goes, leaves from Hastinapur, that's one chapter. Krishna enters Dwarka, that's another chapter. Then again 12th chapter. Hey, you're supposed to speak about birth of Parikshit Maharaj, please say that. So they were little lost in speaking all this. So then again Parikshit Maharaj's birth was described by Suta Goswami in the 12th chapter. Then Brahmanas predict his future qualities of Parikshit Maharaj. That is about birth of Parikshit Maharaj. And the activities of Parikshit Maharaj is like after, before describing the activities of Parikshit Maharaj, Suta Goswami explains the events that led for the enthroning of Parikshit Maharaj. So that is 13th chapter. In the 13th chapter of first canto, Dhritarashtra was still staying in Hastinapur, eating the food given by Bhima, right, very shamelessly. Vidura comes and chastises him, and Dhritarashtra leaves home. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj starts seeing some symptoms of the appearance of Kali Yuga, actually. And there are actually the symptoms of Krishna's disappearance also. Krishna Krishna disappeared, and then before prayer to it, Dhritarashtra retired, and Pandavas also wanted to retire. Okay, their role is over here. Then Pandavas retired after enthroning Parikshit Maharaj. That's how Parikshit Maharaj was enthroned. Then he goes around all the places, and one of the prominent activity of Parikshit Maharaj is he chastised Kali. So once he was going and he saw Kali personified is mishandling this Dharma bull and Mother Earth in the form of cow. So Parikshit Maharaj chastised him. And that was one of the activities described. And another question that Samanakada Rishis asked Sukadeva Goswami was, Sukadeva Goswami was, how was Sukadeva Goswami perceived at Hastinapur? Right? How did this meeting between Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami happen? Another question is, why did Parikshit Maharaj give up everything and sit in the bank of Ganga? These are two questions. And in response to that, 18th and 19th chapter described by Sukadeva Goswami revealed the incident of Parikshit Maharaj going outside in the forest and he was thirsty. I mean, unimaginably he was afflicted by thirst and he took a snake, dead snake, and garlanded it with Samikrishi, who was at that time in his meditation and he couldn't attend to the guest Parikshit Maharaj who came there. Then he left and his son sees that thing and he hears that thing and curses Parikshit Maharaj to die in 7 days. Then Parikshit Maharaj took that as an opportunity to renounce everything and to take complete shelter of this process of hearing. Right? So then he left everything and he came there. And Sukadeva Goswami happens to come there and the meeting happened and they started discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. These are some events leading to the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam after Krishna's disappearance. Right? In Srimad Bhagavatam, in several chapters as I mentioned, the process of hearing is glorified. So, in the 18th chapter somewhere this verse comes. Tanno Bhavanvai Bhagavat Pradhano Mahattamekanta Parayanasya Hare Rudaram Charitam Vishuddham Sushrushatamno Vitanotu Vidvan. This verse describes the qualities of a hearer, qualities of a speaker, and the quality of the subject matter being described. Tanno Bhavanvai Bhagavat Pradhano. The speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam should be Bhagavat Pradhano. His main object of life should be Bhagavan, Krishna. Right? Bhagavat Pradhano. Then Mahattamekanta Parayanasya Harer Udaram Charitam Vishuddham. And the topic being discussed is Harer Udaram Charitam Vishuddham. Means the magnanimous activities of Lord Hari. That is the subject matter, glory of subject matter. Then Susrushatamno Vitanotu Vidvan. The quality of a hearer is Susrushatam. He is very eager to hear the past tense of the Lord. So this is, and we see the entire Srimad Bhagavatam filled with conversations like this. Speakers who are Bhagavat Pradhano and the hearers who are Susrushatamno and the content which is Harer Udaram Charitam Vishuddham. Right. Srikant Prabhu has made some conversation list, right? The list of conversations in Srimad Bhagavatam. First it begins with the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Samanakada Rishis. They quote the discussion between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, and he quotes the discussion between Maitreya and Vidura for 2 cantos, Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narada Muni for 7th canto, and remaining several such descriptions are there. So it's like parampara, right? Lord's activities are discussed among pure devotees and their relation. And other pure devotees who come and seek for same discussion will quote those discussions and relation. And now we are discussing all that. So this is how Lord's activities are being described. Right? So then that's how first canto ends. Then we enter the second canto. Now this is the actual discussion happening between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. Right? Parikshit Maharaj asks a question. What is the ultimate duty of a person who is about to die? Right? What should he hear? What should he chant? What should he remember? Now Parikshit Maharaj is about to die in 7 days. Right? He was cursed to die. Now what should he hear? He is asking about the ultimate duty that he has to do and people in general have to do. Then Sukadeva Goswami, in response to that, he tells us, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Srota, what is that? Next one. Srotavya Kirtitavya Smartavya Ischata Abhayam. If you want fearlessness, you have to hear glorify and remember the Supreme Lord Krishna. Right? So, and these are the contents of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga means Saravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, and nine processes are there. So we have to hear about Krishna, we have to glorify Krishna and chant his holy names, right? And we have to remember Krishna. These are all the elements of Bhakti Yoga. Right? So Sukadeva Goswami is recommending Bhakti Yoga. But along with Parikshit Maharaj, in the audience, several people are also sitting. Right? They may be thinking that deity worship is highest, or demigod worship is highest, or jnana is highest, karma is the highest. They have different processes. But so Sukadeva Goswami systematically establishes the superiority of Bhakti Yoga or all other processes. Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, or demigod worship, all that. That is the first three chapters of second canto. Then Parikshit Maharaj asks about Sarga and Visarga. Right. So now here Sukadeva Goswami answers his questions by quoting a discussion happened between Brahma and Narada. So Brahma and Narada samvad happened. So Narada Muni asked Brahmaji about some questions, his convictions and his doubts about the position of Brahma. I think you are the supreme controller or supreme creator, whatever. Right? Brahmaji says, no, there is Supreme Lord. I'm just his instrument. So like that kind of discussion happens. And in that discussion, Brahmaji basically establishes the characteristics of universe and the shelter of the universe as Lord Narayana and who created this universe, Lord Narayana. Several such questions are answered. The supremacy of the Supreme Lord as the creator of this entire cosmic manifestation is established in the discussion. Right? Then Parikshit Maharaj asks next set of questions. He expresses his enthusiasm to hear more and he asks some 27 some questions. Those many questions he asks and again our Sukadeva Goswami answers some of them through the discussion happened between Lord and Brahma here. Right? So Lord and Brahma, that Chatushloki Bhagavatam comes here. Right? Some questions are answered. And actually the Sarga, Visarga, all those topics start from third canto. And in the last chapter of second canto, the 10 characteristics of Srimad Bhagavatam are described. Right? The definitions are given. Atra Sarga, Visarga, Sthanam, Poshanam, Motaya. Then Manvantara, Ishanakata, Nirodha, Mukti, Rajshaya. Right? The definitions are given. Sarga means the primary creation done by the Lord. Visarga means the secondary creation done by Brahmaji. Sthanam, the geographical location of different planetary systems. Right? Poshanam means the protection aspect of the Supreme Lord given to his devotees. Right? Then Manvantara, as we move forward, we'll give the definitions also. Right? So of all these 10 topics, there is one topic, Ashraya. That is Sammam Bonam Shelter. I don't know if this short time we'll be able to complete this discussion or not. I'll give that Ashraya now. Now only. It's like Prabhupada gave 10 candles in the beginning. So, Dashamasya Visuddhyartham Navanam Ehalakshanam. The 10th item is the shelter of all other items. Right? It is the Sammam Bonam. Krishna, that is describing about Krishna, Ashraya, from whom everything emanates, on whom everything rests, and in whom everything merges after annihilation. So he is the source. He is the Sammam Bonam of everything. He is the support of all. That's why he is Ashraya. So the main subject matter of 10th canto is Krishna's pastimes. Right? So, just like there is Ashraya and there is Ashrita. There are two different principles. Right? Ashraya means that shelter, the object that is providing shelter. Ashrita means the dependents who are requiring that shelter. So, this 10th canto is like the shelter of all other, this Ashraya concept is the shelter of all other aspects remaining. Atra Sarga, Visarga, Sanam, Poshanam, they are all dependent on this. And sages have described all these topics so that they can end up in this Ashraya topic. Right? We can appreciate Ashraya after studying this Ashrita, remaining 9 cantos. If we study the remaining 9 cantos, we can appreciate Ashraya better, Krishna better, like that. All Prabhupada writes that all prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam aim for this Ashraya Tattva, Sri Krishna. Right? One should know perfectly the absolute transcendence, Sri Krishna, that entire creation, both material and spiritual, rests on the body of Krishna, like that. So, that's how the topics begin. Sarga Visarga, all this from this third canto onwards. First two cantos are like introduction. They are considered the lotus feet of the Lord. So one must go through that. Okay, when we take darshan, start from lotus feet and then go to face. So Ashraya, I mean, going to 10th canto directly is not recommended. Start from lotus feet. So third and fourth cantos are like considered thighs of the Lord. Right? Now we will begin this third canto. Now, as I mentioned, Sukadeva Parikshit Maharaj asked several questions in the second canto to Sukadeva Goswami. Now Sukadeva Goswami realizes that all these questions which are asked by Parikshit Maharaj, earlier Vidura also asked those questions to Maitreya. Right? These questions seem to be similar. So better I answer those questions by quoting the discussion between Vidura and Maitreya. That's how third canto begins. So before beginning that Maitreya and Vidura samvad, Sukadeva Goswami tells about the events leading to, you know, the meeting of Maitreya and Vidura. That's how third canto begins. Right? The events leading to Maitreya and Vidura samvad are, Vidura was actually, you know, acting as a role, in the role of a minister in Hastinapur, and Duryodhan was, you know, doing so many atrocities towards Pandavas, and Dhritarashtra was supporting him in spite of so many good advices given by Vidura. And Vidura once suggested that Sadesha Purusha, Sadesha Dosha Purusha Dvidaste, Grahan Pravishtoyam Apatya Matya. You are maintaining sin personified. He is greatest cause of inauspiciousness for your dynasty. Throw him out. He suggested like this to Dhritarashtra. So because he was not favoring the activities of Duryodhan. And Duryodhan saw that, you get out of this place. You are the son of kept mistress, you can't stay in this place. How dare you are speaking against us. I am just leaving only the breath in your nose as your possession. Get out of Hastinapur. And Dhritarashtra kept quiet. That's how Vidura was ejected from his position in Hastinapur, and Vidura came out. And Vidura saw this as a great benediction, so that he gets an opportunity to discuss Krishna Katha. So he came out of Hastinapur and he did some pilgrimage and he met Uddhava. Right? After meeting Uddhava, Vidura asks about the welfare of Yadus, welfare of Hastinapur Vasis, so many people. And by this time, Krishna disappeared. While he was doing pilgrimage, you know, all this battle happened. Right? Battle between Pandavas and Kauravas happened, and Krishna also disappeared from this world. So all this news is given to Vidura after his pilgrimage by Uddhava. Then at the end of this discussion, that's where we are in. Here, at the end of the discussion, in our morning Bhagavatam class series. So Vidura expresses his enthusiasm to take spiritual instructions from Uddhava at the end of their discussion. But Vidura says, no, I can't do this. He doesn't want to do Maryada Yatikrama. Maitreya also had the instructions of Krishna, and he can hear from him. He is elder to me, right? And you are also elder to me. I can't be your instructing spiritual master, whatever. You better go to him. So that's how in the first four chapters, introduction. Then Maitreya, Vidura goes to Maitreya, and there samvad starts. So from here, Sarga begins, right? So Vidura asks this question. Please explain about the Purusha avataras, Virat Rupa, Leela avataras, and different planets and jivas. Some 5-6 questions he asks, and Maitreya describes the pastimes of Purusha avataras. Right? How the creation of material elements happened, how sense devatas appeared and offered several prayers to the Lord, and he gives the description of Virat Rupa, manifestation of demigods, different planets, red living entities, Varnas, Virat Rupa, all that he gives. And Vidura asks more questions, which are similar to Parikshit Maharaj's questions in the second canto, here. Right. Then, Maitreya further explains the creation aspect, right, Sarga aspect. So first, Brahma appears and he offers several prayers. Earlier, the creation of material elements, everything happened and Brahma appeared. And Brahma offered several prayers to the Lord, that is in 9th chapter. Then, Lord replied to him, and Brahmaji created 14 planetary systems. So Brahmaji's creation of Visarga begins from here. That is the 12th chapter. In the 12th chapter, Brahmaji starts his creation. First he begins with creating 5 kinds of nisains. Right? So this material world means nisains. Right? There are different aspects of nisense, he creates that. Then he creates four kumaras, rudras, vak, and we will not get into the details now. Then he creates sages. And he asks, okay, now you start creating bodies. Secondary creation, visarga, means Brahma has to create different living entities, bodies of different living entities. Right? So he asks sages to procreate and create living entities. And sages, what will they procreate? Right? Sages can, we need some prajapati. Right? So sages are so much into austerities only. They are not so much interested in family life. So the creation is going very slowly. So then Brahmaji contemplates, and from his contemplation, Shatarupa and Swayambhu Manu appears. Right? Brahmaji orders them, you create. First he creates four kumaras and orders them to create. Then four kumaras, you want to become Brahmacharis, he will not create. Then he orders Rudra to create. And Rudra means his main job profile starts when there is annihilation. He creates people who can destroy the entire universe. They are attacking Brahmaji only, directly. So, and you stop your creation, let me continue my creation. Brahmaji says, and then he creates sages. Then also nothing happened. Then he starts creating prajapatis. Right? So, now after Manu appeared, Swayambhu Manu, Swadharupa appeared, Manu asks, and how do I create? Let's revive the earth planet so that I can start my creation. Right? Then earth was at the time drowned in the ocean. Right? Brahma was contemplating how to just lift this earth. Then Lord appears as Varahadev. Okay? From 13 to 19 chapter of the third canto, it's Varahadev's pastimes. So Lord appears as Varahadev and lifts the earth. So this happened in this first one mantra. So then Maitreya Muni brings out another description of another appearance of Varahadev, which is Nila Varaha, in the sixth one mantra, and merges that. So there he killed Hiranyakasipu and then lifted the earth. Right? So both are like combined. First one mantra, sixth one mantra, pastimes of Varahadev are combined, and combined description is given. Right? At the time he asks why Lord Varaha had to kill Hiranyakasipu, Hiranyaksha. Then Vidura asks this question. Then Maitreya Muni describes the events leading to the birth of Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha. Right? This is some interesting episode. He starts with Diti. So Diti is the wife of Kashyapa. Diti approaches Kashyapa for children at a wrong time. Right? Kashyapa says, no, not at this time. We will procreate children later. But Diti was little forceful at that time. Then the union happens at a wrong time, and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu, the demons, take birth. Right? When the demons enter the womb of Diti, and the darkness spreads all over the universe, and the demigods become alarmed and they go to Brahmaji. Brahmaji say, they ask, what is the reason for this darkness in the entire universe? Brahmaji says, then he quotes another story. Right? So once my sons, four Kumaras, they entered this Vaikuntha planet, they are about to enter, at the gate, the attendants of Lord Vishnu, Jaya and Vijaya, stopped them, right? Thinking that kids cannot enter Vaikuntha, but generally kids, when you stop, they become angry, right? But these kids, angry and cry, but kids don't cry. These kids don't cry, they curse. So four Kumaras curse Jaya and Vijaya, okay, to become demons, right? Then Lord came, and they have beautiful description of four Kumaras, this Vaikuntha Loka is given there. We can't get into that now. Right? So Jaya Vijaya were cursed. The attendants of the Sarubhya Mukti devotees, the Vaikuntha Vasis, became demons because of the curse of four Kumaras, and they entered the womb of Diti. That is the cause of the darkness in the universe. So Brahmaji, when the demons approached, demigods approached Brahmaji, what is the cause of this darkness? Brahmaji said, hey, this is what has happened. He just gave them a story, Krishna Katha. Description of Vaikuntha Loka only he gave. Right? He couldn't give a solution. So Krishna Katha is very important. Okay? That is very much revealed in all the cantos. So they came as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu. That's the birth of Hiranyakasipu. Then the actual description happening is Visarga, the secondary creation. Again, Vidura reminds him, you are supposed to speak about Visarga. Then again, Visarga description continues from 20th chapter. Manu created, Manu has five children, Akuti, Devahuti, Prasuti, three daughters, then Uttanapada and Priyavrata, two sons, right? That these descendants are described in fifth canto beginning, fifth canto middle, right? So what are the, describe about the dynasty of Manu, he asks. Then he begins. First he starts with Devahuti. One daughter of Manu is Devahuti. She was married to Kardamuni. Kardamuni performs austerities for and the Lord comes and Kardamuni asks, I need to enter household life, give me a wife. Then, as Lord predicts, Swayambhu Manu comes and offers his daughter Devahuti to Kardamuni, right? And their children are described. And Devahuti begets nine daughters from Kardamuni. Then, after giving birth to these daughters, Kardamuni starts living, renouncing. And Devahuti comes and says, you gave me only daughters, I want son. Then Kardamuni creates an airplane. No, this happens before. Okay. Then Kardamuni, then Kapildev appears from her womb. After Kardamuni stays there. And after Kapildev appears and then Kardamuni leaves, he renounces. And Kapildev instructs his mother Devahuti. And that's the most philosophical and technical section. One of the prominent technical sections of Bhagavatam. We definitely cannot enter it now. So the teachings of that Kapila to Devahuti. Right? So after Kapildev explains his teachings to Devahuti, then Kapildev goes to Ganga Sagar and Devahuti, I mean, he stays there only and he attains perfection. Right? Then Visarga has to continue. Now, Visarga, Swayambhu Manu's one daughter is Devahuti. In describing her descendants, he gave a big philosophical section of teachings of Lord Kapila there. Again, come back. What about her second daughter and other daughters and other sons, other descendants? Then fourth canto begins with the descendants of daughters of Manu. So in the first chapter, all the descendants of all three daughters are given, Akuti, Devahuti, Prasuti. Right? So Prasuti is married to Daksha and their descendants are described. And one daughter, Sati, she was married to Lord Shiva and she didn't have any descendant. So while Maitreya Muni was describing the descendants of the daughters of Daksha, daughters of Swayambhu Manu, he came to the topic of Sati and stopped there. She didn't have a descendant. Then Maitreya Muni, Vidura asks a question. Why she didn't have a descendant? Then the whole episode of Daksha sacrifice begins. So Sati was married to Daksha and once Daksha, Sati was married to Shiva and Sati was the daughter of Daksha. Daksha once enters an arena, sacrificial arena and Lord Shiva was sitting there, Brahmaji was sitting there and several other great personalities in the cosmos are sitting there. And Shiva was absorbed in meditation and he couldn't get up and offer respects to Daksha. Daksha became angry, right? And cursed Shiva. And some of Shiva's support friends, people who are supporting him, Nandi, they also cursed Daksha's followers and the whole thing happened. There is a conflict between Shiva and Daksha, right? Later, Daksha performed another sacrifice and Sati, being the daughter of Daksha, she wanted to go to that sacrifice, right? I want to meet my sisters, I want to meet my mother, right? I want to dress myself nicely and participate in it. Then she goes to Shiva and says, please allow me to go there. Let's go there. And Shiva gives several arguments why we should not go there. Because Daksha is inimical to Shiva. Then, Sati still goes. Right? And she was not treated properly by Daksha and his people. So, Sati gives up her body there after condemning Daksha. And this news comes to Shiva. Shiva becomes angry. He produces Virabhadra from his hair. And Virabhadra goes and destroys the sacrifice of Daksha and beheads Daksha. Right? And Brahmaji, Daksha is one of the prominent Prajapatis. Daksha means he is very expert in producing children. Okay, Prajapati, creation phase. Right? So, Brahma wants to revive Daksha. So he goes to Shiva and pacifies him. Okay, please revive him. Please don't be angry. Then Shiva comes and revives Daksha with a goat head. Right? Daksha continues his sacrifice, sacrifice is complete, and then we have to come back to the descendants of Swayambhuman. Right? So the descendants of daughters of Daksha are mentioned, Akuti, Prasuti, Devahuti, now sons. So from the 8th chapter onwards, the descendants of Uttanapada are described. One of the sons of Swayambhuman, Uttanapada are described. Uttanapada has two wives, Suruchi and Suniti. Right? Suniti's son is Dhruva, Suruchi's son is Uttama. For some reason, Uttanapada is more favorable to Suruchi. She is his favorite wife and he was kind of neglecting Suniti. Once Suniti's son Dhruva Maharaj came and he was attempting to climb on the lap of Uttanapada, Dhruva Maharaj. So Uttanapada didn't receive him well, and on top of it, our Suruchi, the mother of Uttama, she chastised Dhruva. Right? You can't get on father's lap, although you are his son, because you didn't come from my womb, you are not my son, you can't sit on the throne, on the lap of your mother. So Dhruva was a little unhappy and he goes to his mother, and mother gives him several good instructions. Don't be envious of anyone. We should worship the Supreme Lord. Right? I am one mother. Supreme Lord is like millions of mothers. We should worship him like that. Your Manu, your father, grandfather, they all attained success by worshipping the Supreme Lord. Right? Then Dhruva just he leaves the kingdom and enters the forest. 5-year-old child, he leaves the kingdom and enters the forest and starts performing austerities. And first Narada Muni encounters him and kind of tests Dhruva, his determination. And still Dhruva is determined. His determination is to attain a highest position, greater than his great-grandfather. Right? Because he was not allowed to be in the position of his father's throne, father's lap. So he wanted the highest position. With that ambition he goes, and Narada Muni says, you chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and he gives him some process. And Dhruva, 6 months he follows the process, great austerities, and Lord comes and gives him benedictions. And after receiving the benediction, Dhruva becomes little sorry. Why did I ask for this? Right? Actually, devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the highest. In comparison to that, whatever position in the entire cosmic manifestation, whether it is King of Heaven or Brahmaloka or anything else, is insignificant. So when Lord is coming to me, I was having this material desires. So Dhruva was a little repentant because of that. Then, Dhruva's episode, Dhruva was enthroned by Uttanapada, and Uttama dies at that time, okay, and Dhruva had a fight with Yakshas and he attains perfection, right? We should end at that point. Then, one of the descendants of Dhruva is Prithu Maharaj, and the next, somewhere around 11 chapters, describe the pastimes of Prithu Maharaj, right? And one of the descendants of Prithu Maharaj is, in that line comes Prachin Bari. Right? Prachin Bari was absorbed in karmakandic sacrifices, right? So Narada Muni comes and instructs him through the allegorical story of Puranjan, right? Where he could relate to it better. It's the whole same story of Puranjan, Prachin Bari only. He tells in a different style so that people can understand. So, yeah, Prachin Bari is also delivered, and his sons are Prachetas. They chant Rudra Gita and they are delivered. So like that, the descendants of Uttanapada are very elaborately described till the end of 4th canto. Right? 5th canto begins with the descendants of Priyavrat, the second son of Swayambhuman. So Priyavrat, he wanted to be renounced, and there was a need. Swayambhuman has to retire, and someone has to take up the kingdom. So Brahmaji comes to convince Priyavrat to enter household life. Right? And he comes and convinces, he quotes several things that we have to be assisting the Supreme Lord. Right? We cannot deny his orders. Right? What is it? Natasya kasya tapasa vidyayava na yoga viryana manishayava na yvartha dharma imparatasvatova kritam vihantam tanubhutti bhuyat. By any means, one cannot reject the order of the Supreme Lord. This is the order of the Supreme Lord, that you have to take care of the kingdom. Renunciation later. So then he gets into the kingdom. Then Priyavrat, he is the one who divides this whole Bhumandala into 7 islands by creating several 7 oceans. Right? And Priyavrata's sons are described as others are there. So Agnidra, how he got married to Purvachiti, is described in the second chapter, and Agnidra's son is Nabhi. Right? Nabhi performs a sacrifice for the to get a son like the Supreme Lord, and Supreme Lord appears in the sacrifice and says, "You want a son like me? There is no one like me. I will only become your son." Then he comes as Rishabhdev. Right? Rishabhdev's descendants are described. Rishabhdev's first son is Bharat Maharaj. So Bharat Maharaj, three lives are described. He's a great king and he renounced everything, just like, okay, I'll not give the analogy. So he renounced everything and came to Kulaashram and he performs his austerities. Then he happens to be attached, develop attachment to a deer, right? Because of the attachment to the deer, he has to take birth as a deer in the next life, right? So then he repents because of attachment to an insignificant animal whom I cannot give any spiritual instructions. Right? So I got this deer body and he was very careful. Then in the third life he will get a Brahmana body. Right? And he happens to meet, he becomes Jadabharat and he happens to meet Raugana and he imparts several spiritual instructions to him. Right? That's how his descendants end. Right? Then Bharat Maharaj's descendants are also described in the fifth canto. So the prominent, predominant theme of fifth canto is Sthana. So Visarga is continuing till this point. Swayambhumanu's descendants are described till the middle of fifth canto. Then the Sthana begins. Sthana is the geographical location of different planetary systems in the entire universe. Right? So that he describes. Right? We can't get into that now. So even if we get into that, we cannot understand so much. So now, after the description of the geographical location of entire cosmic manifestation, material cosmic manifestation, then we enter the sixth canto. So by describing the details of the universe structure, Sukadeva Goswami gives a description of the hellish planets, where they are located, and how different people suffer because of their sinful reactions in the hellish planets. Right? There are 26 kinds of hells. There are planetary systems. And in each hellish planetary system, there are different hells, right? So people, sinful people are given so much torture there by the Yamadutas. So now Parikshit Maharaj, who was hearing all this, who had only 3-4 days to live, he was concerned about the people of the sinful people. How can they be saved? How can they be protected from these hellish planets? He asks. Then in response to that, Parikshit Maharaj wants to test his student and he gives a karmakandic suggestion. By performing acts of atonement, one can come out of the sinful activities. Then Parikshit Maharaj says, just like an elephant enters the water and takes nice bath and comes out and throws mud on it, there is no meaning to that bath. Right? Similarly, if one performs atonement, the reaction may be nullified, but that doesn't mean that he will not perform any sinful activity again. The propensity to commit sin is not eradicated by performing some acts of atonement, prayaschitta. Right? He rejects that answer. Then he gives a jnana process. So, without even rejecting only, Parikshit Maharaj understands that his student is not satisfied with this answer. Then he gives bhakti process. Right? If he performs devotional service to the Lord, then Yamadutas cannot see that person. Or he need not see the Yamadutas. Right? He gives bhakti as the ultimate process, right, for one to be protected from hellish planets, means Yamadutas. And as an example, he gives Ajamil episode. Ajamil was a pure Brahman, and once he saw the affair of, a low-class chandala, associating with a prostitute, right, he got attracted, and he entered the sinful life by association of that prostitute. And till 88 years, he was absorbed in sinful life. And when he was about to leave his body, right, Yamadutas came to snatch away his soul. Then he was calling his son Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. Okay, because of some previous devotional service, he happened to name his son Narayana. He called Narayana, Narayana. Then Narayana Dutas came, Vishnu Dutas came to protect him, right, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, right, although unintentionally. So that's how Bhakti Yoga protects. So like that he gives an answer. Then actually the description of second creation is going on, right? Priyavrat, when I said about Priyavrat, he divided his Bhumandala into seven islands, right? So, referring to that, Parikshit Maharaj asks a question. Okay? Then the whole universe structure episode comes up in the second half of fifth canto. Right? And because there is hellish planet in the end of fifth canto, this whole Arjamil episode comes up. Right? But the actual thread is descendants of Swayambhuman. So now please continue the description of secondary creation. So, Parikshit Maharaj asks. That is his question in fourth canto, fourth chapter of sixth canto. Then, now he left it Prachetas. Prachetas are the descendants, right? He left it Prachetas in the fourth canto ending. So this Daksha, who got a goat head, right? He takes birth, in his next birth, he takes birth as the son of Prachetas. Right? And he continues the secondary creation. Right? So, Daksha's birth is described. And Daksha, this time, in this birth, he has 60 daughters. Right? And 11,000 sons. Right? So, first, Daksha's austerities are described and Lord comes there and asks him to procreate. And he creates 10,000 sons. Hariyashwas. Right? And he asks them, you go and perform austerities, then you have to enter a soul life. He gives them instruction. And they go to perform austerities and Narad Muni comes there, right? Great preacher, he makes all of them brahmacharis, right? Then Daksha was frustrated, I am creating and he is creating renunciants out of my creation, right? Then he produces 1,000 sons, they are Shavalasvas. So Shavalasvas go there to perform austerities and Narad Muni comes there, I think you should follow your elder brother's path. Then they also become brahmacharis, right? Then Brahmaji comes, then Narada Muni wants to give devotional service to Daksha also. Okay, now sons are renounced. So father will be in renounced spirit. So let me go and preach to him. So he goes to Daksha, right? And Daksha on the contrary, he curses Narada. Right? So Narada Muni says, okay, it will not work for him. And he comes out. And Brahmaji comes. Don't be dissatisfied. You create daughters instead of sons. So he creates daughters and gives them to different sages and other people, and the secondary creation continues. Right? Then, while describing the descendants of the daughters of Daksha, right, one point comes. Sukadeva Goswami mentions that Brihaspati rejected the demigods, right, for some mistake that they have done, right, and demigods accepted Vishwarupa as their spiritual master, right? So, Parikshit Maharaj becomes curious to know about that. Okay? Why did Brihaspati reject the demigods? Right? So, then the story comes up, right? Once Indra was sitting in his throne and Brihaspati entered. So, daily his guru is entering, right? So, he thought he need not give a separate attention to that person. So, he didn't receive him well. So, Brihaspati was little, he was not offended, actually he just leaves there. And because of offense to his guru, demons become powerful and destroy them. Right? Okay. So demigods conquer the, demons conquer the demigods. So, demigods are bereft of kingdom. And demigods will go to this place. Brahmaji and asks for some solution, right? So how could then all the demigods were told by Brahmaji to accept Tvashta as the spiritual master, as his guru, because their guru Brihaspati rejected them, so they have to accept another guru to regain their opulence, right? They go and accept Tvashta, right, as their guru. Then Tvashta actually is the son of a demon mother, right, and a Brahmana father. Not Tvashta, Vishwarup. Okay. Tvashta is his father, Vishwarup is his son. Right? So Vishwarup is performing sacrifice for demigods only. Right? He gave them Narayana Kavacha shield, right? And they regained their opulence. Right? But he, while doing sacrifices, he was offering oblations to the demons also. Right? Then Indra became very insecure and beheaded Vishwarup. Right? Then Tvashta creates a demon to kill Indra. instead of creating a demon who can kill Indra, he creates a demon who will be killed by Indra. Right? That is Vritrasura. Right? So Vritrasura appears and he attacks the demigods and in that fight, you know, Vritrasura happens to die. Okay? During that fight, in the description comes, Vritrasura shows great devotional qualities even on the battlefield. So, then Parikshit Maharaj asks the question, how could Vritrasura show such great, devotional qualities even on the battlefield? Right? Demons are generally passionate and demoniac. Right? Then, the previous birth of this Vritrasura is described, that is Chitraketu. So, Chitraketu was a has 1 crore wives. He wants to have a son, but he married one wife and he didn't get a son. Married second wife, he didn't get a son. Third wife, he didn't get a son. 100, 1,000, 1 crore. 1 crore wives, he didn't get a son. Right? So, then he was very morose. I mean, his desire to have a son is very bona fide and important, because as a responsible leader, leader has to create a descendant who can continue his legacy. As a responsible emperor, he wants his son to take over the Chalukya kingdom. That's why he wanted his son. So, Angira happens to come there. And Chitraketu expresses his lamentation and he says, Angira performs some sacrifice and Chitraketu gets his son. Angira Rishi tells Chitraketu that this son will be the cause of your happiness and distress. He didn't understand. I think my son will be a little naughty, or because of being a great emperor, he will be a little proud or something like that. It's okay. Better to have some son like that, not better than having no son. So then he performs a sacrifice and that child is given birth to by one of the wives, Kaya, Kritadyuti. Right? One of the 1 crore wives give birth to the son. Right? Remaining 1 crore minus one wives, how much is 99 lakhs, whatever, 1 crore minus one wives become envious of this mother, okay, and they poison the child, right, and the child dies, and mother laments, and father Chitraketu also laments, right, then Angirimani comes at that time, right, and Naradamani also comes at that time. So Naradamani revives the child and makes the child speak to the parents. So child, Naradamuni tells him, oh child, your parents are lamenting because of your death. Child says, which parents are you? Right? Which birth? I have had so many births and I have had several sets of parents. Right? In which birth are you my parents? He asks like that. Then Chitraketu understands, the soul is eternal, bodies are temporary. Okay? Just like our relation with different friends or family relatives, right? That is pertinent, that exists only as long as I am in this body. Once I transmigrate from this body to another body, the relation changes. So like that, several instructions are there. So Chitraketu understands this point, right? And he renounces. Right? And once he happens to, and Naradamuni gives him a Sankarshan mantra, and he worships Lord Sankarshan, he got his darshan also. Right? Once he happens to fly in his Vidyadhara airplane and see Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva was sitting in an assembly of sages with his wife in his lap. Right? Then Chitraketu gives a feedback to Lord Shiva. Right? How could you embrace your wife in public? So like that. Common people may misunderstand you. That was his intention. Right? People may not understand your exalted nature and they may misunderstand you. It may not be befitting for you to behave in this way. And Parvati becomes angry. Okay? How dare you say that? Many sages are sitting silent. I curse you to become a demon. And this person becomes a demon as Vritrasura. And he exhibited such devotional qualities in his fight with Indra. So that's how Bhaktivaibhava syllabus ends. So we will continue whenever we meet next time. Thank you all very much. Grantharashtra Madhavatam.
Thank you.